Joba Tbilisi. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgian English, coming to you from our perch high above Tatsminda's beautiful Rustavelli Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 10th of July, 2014. On this date in 1778, thanks to Ben Franklin, Louis XVI declares war on the Kingdom of Great Britain. 1890, Wyoming is admitted as the 44th state to the United States. 1925, the monkey or Scopes trial begins in Tennessee when a high school teacher is so bold as to teach evolution. 1940, the Battle of Britain begins. 1985, French agents plant limpet mines on a Greenpeace ship, the Rainbow Warrior, which was about to protest a French nuclear test in the South Pacific. The French lied about it for years, but it eventually came out that Prime Minister Mitterrand had approved it. Jerk. 1990, Gorbachev was re-elected as head of the Communist Party. 1991, Boris Yeltsin takes office as the first elected president of Russia. 2011, Russian cruise ship Bulgaria sunk in the Volga in Tatarstan, leading to 122 deaths. Birthdays are the severe Protestant John Calvin, brilliant inventor Nikola Tesla, long-winded writer Marcel Proust, actor and author Fred Gwynne, Canadian writer Alice Munro, singer Arlo Guthrie, and Iranian actress Golshifteh Farahani is 30 today. Today is Beatles Day in Liverpool and Hamburg. It's both Will Dunbar and me, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. On the 7th of July, former president of Georgia, Edward Shevardnadze, died at the age of 86. In Tbilisi, several people organized a demonstration outside his residence in Kurtsanisi.
Keep it classy.
Yeah, exactly. At the same day, the protesters are supporters of Shevardnadze's predecessor, Zviad Gamsakhurdia, and have been protesting every week outside of Chevy's residence, shouting slogans like, Shevardnadze Judas. They continue to shout insults after learning about his death. Yeah, they're really just horrible. Organized by Zviad's widow, Manana Archvadze.
Also known as the legitimate prime minister of Georgia.
Right. Manana? Yeah, exactly. She's quite a character. Speaking of severe self-appointed religious figures. Chevy's death received mixed reactions, according to Georgians writing their views about his presidency on Facebook. Some think he was a successful politician that did a lot for Georgia. Others think that he was a traitor and was taking orders from Russia. He was certainly much beloved by the cab driver that took me to his Punish Vita today. During his time in office, Georgia lost control of Abkhazia, and many people blame him personally. Current and former world leaders responded to death, calling him a great politician. Swedish foreign minister and all-around rock star Carl Bildt wrote on Twitter that he was a big personality of our time. Javier Solana, former secretary general and of NATO and non-native English speaker, wrote on Twitter, key at end USSR and reunification of Germany. Period. Great figure. Whatever.
Hashtag lessons.
In his condolences, Misha described Chevy as an important figure. Important figure seems to be all over the place. Putin.
Putin said important figure.
Yeah, he said he expressed his condolences to the Georgian people. You know, could he express his condolences by not moving the fence in South Ossetia farther into Georgian territory sometime? Georgia's current leaders also spoke about the former president's death. Prime Minister Khadabashvili ordered a government commission to organize a funeral, which will be on Sunday the 13th. Government will cover expenses. Still not known where he's going to be buried.
Since he's going to be buried next to his wife.
Next to Nanula, yeah, which I figured. Which is where?
It's in the residence. It's in the garden.
Okay. So, reminder, Chevy was Minister of Internal Affairs of the Georgian Socialist Soviet Republic from 1967 and was known for fighting corruption. In 1972, he became the first Secretary of the Georgian Communist Party and leader of Georgia. From 85 to 90, he was Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Soviet Union. 92, after the breakup, he became Chairman of the State Council of Georgia and later Speaker of Parliament. From 95, he was President until the Rose Revolution in November 2003, when he was ousted from power.
Yeah.
So did you hear the story about how he became foreign minister? The watch story?
The watch story? Oh, well,
yeah, what I heard was that in a cabinet meeting or whatever, or there's, you know, some Politburo or something or other, that Gorbachev, before he had a foreign minister, said, okay, everybody razor arm.
So this is the apocryphal watch story, which applies to... I've heard the story that that's that how Shevardnadze fired the old guard when he came to power in Georgia. I've also heard that story referring to Misha firing people at the Ministry of Justice.
No, it couldn't have been Misha, because I heard that story before Misha.
Okay, no, I mean, this is just one of those stories. It's like one of these urban myths. I bet there was no watch. You know, I bet there
was... Anyway, so the story, for those who don't know, the story was that in whichever situation this happened, was that everybody raised their arm and everybody had super fancy foreign watches, but that Shevardnadze had Army watch or something like that. And said, okay, that's our guy. I don't know. Yeah, lots of stories there. I do know that the first sort of not, I would say the first sort of Western evidence of issues showed up around 2000 when Peter Baker wrote an article quoting Vano Medavashvili that said that everybody's not so happy with Shevardnadze. I guess it was maybe after the parliamentary election, maybe even after the 2000 presidential election. And that sort of, there was a lot of unhappiness with him in, you know, in 98, 99, not including wiped out Zviadas, but, not reported a whole lot. That of course spiraled to 2003 when lots of people now saying that, oh, we didn't support Misha, whatever else, but that's not true. Everybody supported the resignation of Shevardnadze in 2003.
And most people supported his arrival in 92.
Absolutely.
Political careers end in failure. Some of them quicker than others. I'm looking at the
right.
Not
just
looking
like,
at anyone specifically.
Just like almost everybody voted for Zviad in those first elections. Not everybody, but almost.
But, I mean, my God, it's been like Thatcher all over again in terms of just completely madly divisive with extreme hatred pouring out and also sort of rather rosy-eyed sort of tributes to his greatness as well. It's been a really sort of, you know, two sides of the coin.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think here's my two cents worth, is that he came to the country when it was just an unmitigated basket case. He stabilized it, and he stabilized it by giving out chunks of the country and the economy to a bunch of mostly scuzzballs. And it became a completely corrupt state because of that. And eventually he had to go. And he did not really fight back very hard, and he could have. It would have been difficult for him. I mean, at that point, a few months before, he didn't have, you know, the way Mugabe or others have several hundred people or several thousand people that would die for him. He never really built that group up. He was never particularly corrupt. He never made a bunch of money. Some members of his family did, but he didn't. And so, his legacy was frankly that he went. And, you know, Georgia's, the best thing about Georgia internationally was it had a live former president living at home in peace until he died 10 years after being ousted, which is, you know, puts it well above
those days. I hope those days come back.
Yeah, exactly. Be nice. 5th of July, Tbilisi City Court placed former mayor of Tbilisi, Gigi Ugulava, in pretrial detention. He faces charges of money laundering and election fraud in relation to the recent local elections that were on the 15th of June. The specific election fraud allegations are complete BS, by the way. The day after, on the 4th of July, Ugulava was detained at Tbilisi Airport as he was about to board a plane to Ukraine. Apart from the money laundering charges, Ugulava is accused of organizing a group action to interrupt the activities of the District Election Commission in Marneuli in June.
This is an absurd charge.
It's a totally ridiculous charge. And if they, you know, I mean, as we have said, you know, there's plenty of fiscal, you know,
malfeasance
floating around. And if anybody would get off their duff and start, you know, looking at some spreadsheets, they could have something real to charge them with. But instead they went for this, which is just totally preposterous. After a court read the decision, four prosecutors left the building escorted by guards while Ugulava supporters ran after them yelling. This included UNM Member of Parliament Levon Bejashvili and former Member of Parliament and Ambassador to Germany Kote Gabashvili, who were detained, who's not a young guy,
yeah,
by the way.
He's a 70-year-old man.
Right, who were detained along with two other activists. All detainees were fined 100 lari and released. And they were all taken in a bunch of different directions.
Wait. Bejashvili was not fined because it was completely illegal for them to detain him because he's a parliamentarian and therefore has immunity. And
right.
So he was there shouting, I'm an MP, I'm an MP, and waving his MP's credentials, and they just bundled him in the car anyway.
Right. Well, petty hooliganism falls under the Code of Administrative Offenses, not under criminal code, so he got his 100 lari. That's good.
He didn't. No, they released him on the basis of a written statement or something. He didn't get fined.
UNM supporters called Bejashvili's detention unlawful. UNM supporters, like Will, called Bejashvili's detention.
I've never heard of him in my life.
just kidding. Sort of. Georgian Dream Member of Parliament Gio Tsagadashvili later announced that Parliament formally inquired with the Interior Ministry about the circumstances and reasons for Tsagadashvili's detention. After the court decision, Ugalava was initially brought to the infamous prison number 8 in Guldani, where prisoners were abused during Misha's presidency. He was held in a solitary cell. Ugalava said that prisoners made lots of noise when the prison employees wanted to bring him into an ordinary cell, so he was taken back to a solitary one. Later, he was taken to prison number 9, known as Matrosov prison, where former Interior Minister Vano Medavashvili and former Defense Minister Bacho Akhalai are also being held. That would be an interesting game of Chechuri Durach. On the 8th of July, the Court of Appeals rejected an appeal from Ugalava's lawyer over his pretrial detention as inadmissible. So
the same judge that also stripped him of his mayoral title without hearing any arguments was the judge that rejected the appeal. Yeah. That same judge that decision was late subsequently ruled unconstitutional. This guy's name is Desa Midze or something, and he's just the guy they get in for all these cases. When there's something they need done, they get this judge to rule in their favor.
That's sad. So Ugalava will remain in detention pending trial. 9 months is the maximum length of pretrial detention in Georgia. Not a short amount of time compared internationally. Member of Parliament Dato Bakradze said that Ugalava will take the case to the European Court for Human Rights in Strasbourg. Responding to Ugalava...
That's going
to
take even longer than 9 months.
Yeah, exactly. Responding to Ugalava's detention, the EU called upon Georgian authorities to ensure that the judicial process is fully independent, transparent, and free of political influence, which judge it goes to.
And indeed, Dimitrov, the EU ambassador, for want of a better word here, he had a funny interview where he basically said, I can't tell you directly not to do this sort of thing, but I'm telling you directly not to do this sort of thing.
Yeah, he also said everyone's talking about Sarkozy because Sarkozy was pulled in for questioning for a number of hours rather than
something like 5 hours.
Right, and so they're saying, see, look, the French do it, you know, and Dimitrov had some funny comments about that, saying, you know, it's really quite a different situation. Prime Minister Kharibashvili told journalists that, quote, the detention of Ugalava is a celebration of justice.
He used the word, quote. I think he used it. KP, he said it was like a festival of justice.
A feast, a party of justice.
Absolutely.
You know, a justice bash. During a Sunday sermon at some Epic Cathedral on the 6th of July, Bishop Jakob slammed the UNM and called on voters to go to the second round of local elections to reject those who, quote, are not repenting for what they've done to the country, end quote. Bishop Jakob said that the UNM should, quote, stand aside for a while and give way to others, end quote, continuing that, quote, two years have passed since the UNM was replaced in government, and they are still walking proudly and lecturing us. Thank God we are not a revenge-seeking nation, end quote. His speech got many negative comments.
Wait, you're missing the best quote. Uh-huh. Where he said, thank God we're not a revenge-seeking nation. Had this been Soviet times, we would have dealt with them slightly differently.
Uh-huh.
Basically saying we would have killed them.
Great.
Very Christian of him to say.
Yeah, exactly.
He's the deputy patriarch, by the way. When His Holiness and Beatitude finally is received into the bosom of the Lord, this guy is tipped to take over.
Well, this guy's a KGB agent, you know. I mean, let's be real, you know.
No.
I mean, you know, and I think, like, you know, in terms, since we're talking about repentance and atonement, you know, maybe he ought to repent and atone the way the Ukrainian patriarch did and said, look, you know, I had to do this. If it wasn't me, you know, you would have ended up with somebody else who would have been a lot worse, who wouldn't atone for this, and, you know, I'm terribly sorry, and please forgive me, you know, and everybody forgave him, and he went on to be normal, you know.
This is also the same guy who, Bishop Jakob, who justified and celebrated, in fact, the anti-gay pogrom that we saw a year ago. He's a real nasty piece of work, this man.
Not a good Christian. I mean, you know, who am I to judge, you know, but since I'm from not a revenge-seeking people, you know, and here in Texas, you know, I can just say, really, I don't know, that guy really gets
it. It was also potentially illegal, right? We're getting onto that, are we?
Exactly. UNM supporters complained about the church intervention in politics, saying Bishop Jakob was once a KGB agent and that he should take care of his own sins. Indeed. And even me, a not UNM supporter, says that. Several NGOs later said that a high-ranking cleric violated an election law and called on the CEC to look into the case, since the Georgian election code bans religious organizations from election campaigning. Violation carries a financial penalty of 2,000 lari, which is about I don't know, what, 10 minutes of revenue for Bishop Yaakov under the table. On the 9th of July, the CEC said that it is looking into the complaint against the bishop. As a reminder, Bishop Yaakov is one of Ilya II's three deputies and regularly gives sermons in the cathedral when the patriarch is absent. He went to Ilya II went to Germany, by the way, on the 2nd of July for a routine medical examination. Last night on the 9th of July at 8 p.m., Tbilisi mayoral candidate Dato Narmania of the Georgian Dream and Nika Melia from UNM finally took part in debates at long last in the Sheraton Hotel. After much discussion and dilly-dallying by Otsneva on the issue, the debate was aired live on Georgian TV channels. Some of them, although not Rustaviotti because they were ticked off that they did it at 9 o'clock right during their news show. The candidates presented their election programs followed by debates and questions from media representatives. Narmania mainly focused on social issues and pledged to spend 100 million lari to support small and medium businesses in Tbilisi. Melia highlighted UNM's campaign manager Zugulava's recent arrest, stating that it was politically motivated and created favorable conditions for Narmania. Narmania responded that, on the contrary, it was favorable for Melia's reputation to not have connections with Ugulava, who's accused of numerous crimes. Melia talked about City Park, a company that regulates parking spaces in Tbilisi, saying that if he wins the race, the company's contract terms will be modified. Melia also made remarks about BI's influence over Narmania and his incompetence when it comes to knowing Tbilisi, since Narmania comes from Samegrelo, hence the accent that allegedly during some ads has been cleansed, I've heard. So Narmania responded that he always does and will always act independently to demonstrate his independent decision-making. He referred to BI's pet construction development project, Panorama Tbilisi, which is technically proposed by the co-investment fund, saying that if, as mayor, he found the project inconsistent with Tbilisi's needs, it might not be implemented, in which case he'll be treated like Mark Velashvili. The debates lasted for an hour and 10 minutes. The two candidates continued to argue. After the debates officially ended, Melia handed his opponent a list of unfulfilled Georgian Dream pre-election promises and once again highlighted that Narmania got his votes only because of BI. Narmania, in return, showed Melia a comparison of UNM's and Georgian Dream's activities. Yeah, there was a whole lot of stuff about that debate that didn't happen, and Melia was trying to make it happen forever, and was saying, you know, they were saying, well, all the TV stations are biased, and then, you know, Melia said, okay, fine, we'll have
I'll it. I'll do it in the Georgian Dream office.
In the Georgian Dream office, and it really didn't look good for poor Dato Narmania.
Well, not much does look good for poor Dato Narmania, does it?
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think he's a competent guy. He's not.
What makes you say that?
Because he wrote the local election law. He's a bright guy.
He didn't write the local election law. That was developed by the Republican Party for years with lots and lots of help from Europe. He did not write that law at all. Well, what has he done?
I personally met with him when he was minister on development projects, talked to him about development within Tbilisi, and he knew a heck of a lot about it. And in terms of the laws and checks and balances on the law, and this was a good bit before the law was passed, but he knew more about it than any Republican I had ever spoken to. So, you know, I don't know how much it changed between the Republicans and his dilly-dallying with it, but I was impressed. And I think that he's just an honest guy. Now, I do think that BI probably appointed him because if he had appointed some sort of old Tbilisian, you know, at some point along the way, if Otsneva becomes less popular, then that person would have been more likely to have done some civic organizing in Tbilisi than Narmania may have the ability to do. But, you know, I understand that. I think he'll be a competent manager and, you know, let's see how it goes.
I don't see why you're saying that at all. There's nothing to suggest that he'll be a good man. He's got absolutely no charisma. He's got absolutely no policy.
So charisma makes a great mayor? Well, like, you know, like in Washington
being
or Detroit?
A leader,
you know,
being a leader is kind of important. Yeah, and like let's look at his
I don't know about that.
He's planting a million trees. He's going to plant a million trees.
Great. What's the matter with planting a million trees? Why do you hate trees? What's your problem with trees?
It's absurd. Where is he going to get a million trees from? And then when he was challenged on it by Melia in the debate, he goes, my manifesto is scientifically proven. I mean, come on. He's not a serious guy.
No, I disagree. I mean, look at Ugulava. You know, what did Ugulava do except destroy a bunch of buildings?
Ugulava was also not a great man.
Plenty charismatic. He, you know, thanks to a lot of Georgian taxpayers' money, had very good campaign advice. His second campaign against Alassani was very good, quite humble.
There's a guy I'd like to see as mayor. There's a guy I could get behind, Alassani.
Yeah, but he tried that, and it didn't really work so well.
He also tried it this time, apparently, behind the scenes. He wanted to be mayor this time around, and he got slapped down again.
Well, yeah, I had not heard that, but perhaps. GDS TV, an entertainment TV channel run by BI's rapper son Beta, stated that...
Run by is a strong term. Owned by.
Controlled by, and run by minions, stated that it plans to launch an educational talk show written and co-hosted by BI. That would be not...
This is not a joke.
This is. I mean, we're talking about a real thing here. The show will tentatively begin in October. In a written statement, GDS TV, which is the abbreviation of Georgian Dream Studio, said that it was initially thinking to have the program aired via the Georgian Public Broadcaster, but the idea was dropped because it could trigger certain questions from the public. Indeed. Reacting to BI's plans to co-host a TV program, UNM MP Goga Khachidze announced that he too plans to have a talk show via his YouTube channel where he and his invited guests will discuss each installment of BI's program.
It's going to be fun.
Which will be great.
Did you see what everyone's favorite parliamentarian, Eka Basselia, head of the ironic head of the Human Rights Committee or whatever in Parliament said?
Huh.
She said that... I'm sure whatever Bidzina turns his hand to, he's talented in all areas. And whatever he tries, I'm sure it will be a big success.
Yes, indeed. Following up on the story about foreigners buying land in Georgia after the Constitutional Court's decision to suspend the moratorium in late June, there will be a new regulation for foreigners. Georgia's Minister of Economy and Sustainable Development, Gio Kvitikashvili, said that he disagrees with the court decision to remove the temporary ban of selling agricultural land to foreigners, but he respects the institution and its authority. The chairman of the board of the International Chamber of Commerce, president and CEO of Agritechnics Holdings, Fadi Asli, stated that transparency and predictability are of great importance to business. Consequently, the fact that the law changes so quickly has a huge impact on investors' interests in Georgia. According to Minister of Justice Teo Tsoulikiani, the interagency council working on the issue went into emergency mode after the court's decision to discuss a future plan of action, since now there are no regulations on foreigners buying land. She explained the agency will ensure that Georgian agricultural policy will be consistent with EU agricultural policy after the new laws are enforced. Foreign-based entities will be unable to buy agricultural land unless they register as a company. Foreigners will have to prove a strictly defined investment plan, will need the approval from various ministries for their proposed investment activities, and we all know what that will mean. Parliament will work on a new mechanism to support important agricultural investments. European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg ruled that Russia violated the European Human Rights Convention when it expelled thousands of Georgians from Russia following a spy row in 2006. It found that Russia violated six articles of the European Convention on Human Rights, including the prohibition on the collective expulsion of aliens, the right to liberty and security, the right to judicial review of detention, and so on. The court suggested the two parties take 12 months to consult one another on possible solutions and notify the court of any agreement they may reach. If the parties do not reach an agreement within the specified time, and call me crazy, I don't think they will, the court will make a decision for them. According to Georgia's Justice Ministry, Russia has an obligation to pay compensation to Georgia for violating its citizens' rights.
But did you see how Russia treated this verdict?
What?
They said they won. Because the court did not find that Georgians' rights were collectively abused within Russia. It was the deportation that was found to be illegal, but not the abuse of Georgians within Russia. And so the headline in Itartas was, European Court of Human Rights finds against Georgia in this crucial case.
Yeah, of course. Of course. The details of this are really very interesting. And I would say that anyone who is interested at, I think, 7 p.m. On Monday, the European Alumni Association of Georgia at Caucasus House, not at Europe House, but at Caucasus House in Sololaki, will be hosting the lawyers that worked on it, an explanation of exactly what happened there and about the decision. It'll be quite interesting. If you go to European Alumni Association of Georgia's Facebook page, there will be an announcement about that event on this coming Monday night. Following up on the story about Georgia signing the EU Association Agreement, on the 3rd of July, Romania was the first EU member state to ratify the EU Association Agreement with Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine. On the 2nd of July, Moldova was the first of the signees to ratify its own agreement. However, the vote was far from unanimous. In a 101-member parliament of Moldova, only 59 MPs voted in favor of ratifying the agreement. 38 MPs were absent, since the Communist Party's MPs marched out of the session in protest. Lithuania also ratified the agreement on the 8th of July. Georgian Parliament plans to ratify the agreement on the 18th of July. As a reminder, leaders of the three countries signed the agreement on the 27th of June, but they will not come into force until the EU member states, as well as the EU Parliament, ratify them. According to the CEC, the second round of local elections will be held on Saturday, the 12th of July. Two candidates, Tatu Narmani and Nika Melia, will compete in the second round.
There's Tbilisi. Mayor of Tbilisi, Keti Melua.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a second. There will also be a second round in 11 other cities and towns to elect mayors and municipal heads. As a reminder, Georgian Dream received 50% of the votes in the country as a whole. UNM 22, Nina Borjanaj's United Opposition 10%, Alliance of Patriots of Georgia 4%, and Shalva Natalashvili's Labor Party 3%. Four candidates for Rustavi mayor that didn't make it to the runoff elections decided to support the UNM candidates, Mamuka Chikovani, who came in second in the 15th of June election. One of the candidates is Erosi Kitsmanishvili, former co-owner of Rustavi Ori TV and former ambassador to Russia. He came in third with 12% of the votes. Kitsmanishvili said that he agreed to support Chikovani after the latter offered that in the case of his election, a council will be established uniting the former competitors to work together on development projects in Rustavi. In the first round of voting, Georgian Dream's Dato Gikia received only 40% of the votes, UNM's Mamuka Chikovani 30%. So that should be a race to watch this weekend.
Just how unpopular is the Georgian Dream candidate that all the other, even like Bujanadze's party supporting the National Movement guy? I mean, they must have put up like literally the most unpopular man.
Well, Kitsmanishvili is an important figure.
He's also a pretty slippery customer.
He is a very slippery customer, but an important figure nonetheless, as everybody was saying about Shevardnadze. Former Interior Minister under Shevardnadze, Kakhatargamadze, corrupt jerk, talked about Ugulava and the UNM in an interview with Kvira.ge. Kakha said that the former ruling party did many evil things to this country, and now they are getting what they deserve. According to him, not only Ugulava, but Misha should also be arrested as soon as possible. According to Mark Mullen, Kakhatargamadze should be arrested as soon as possible, because I was around back when that jerk was the Interior Minister, and it's unbelievable the way things worked in those days. Georgian Dream City Council candidate in Poti, Tomas Oselia, severely wounded his neighbor, Gennady Belkania. According to preliminary information, a drunken Soselia injured Gennady in the neck during an argument in a restaurant. Yeah, he injured him in the neck, I think with a knife.
Yeah, with a knife. He stabbed him in the neck. Yeah. It's not a good look for a mayoral candidate.
Belkania was transferred. It's a mayoral candidate or something?
Oh, Gagabelli, yeah, sorry.
All right. Belkania was transferred to a hospital in Kutaisi and is in critical condition. Soselia was arrested. On the 4th of July, President Margvelashvili appointed journalist Viad Koridze to take over as head of the Pardons Commission. Koridze fills the empty seat left by Aliko Elisashvili, also a journalist who left the position to become a majoritarian member of the Tbilisi Sakrabulo after winning in the 15th of June election, who is also a big historical preservation advocate from Hamkati. Elisashvili has done some really good work on historical preservation, and of course, Vian Koridze is a very famous guy. On the 7th of July, Georgi Margvelashvili, still president, appointed appointed Professor Rezo Gachichiladze as the new ambassador to the UK. It's been over a year that Georgia is without an ambassador to the UK. Gachichiladze worked in different positions. The foreign ministry used to be ambassador to Israel and Armenia. He is professor at Tbilisi State University and was a visiting professor at Oxford. Denmark will increase its financial assistance to Georgia from $900,000 to $4.5 million. The decision was made after Georgia signed the association agreement with the EU. The money is intended to support Georgia's efforts to strengthen the spheres of democracy and financial development. The EU and the National Food Agency of Georgia signed a grant agreement to implement new food safety measures. The 10 million lari grant aims to establish effective food safety standards, veterinary standards, and ensure a sanitary management system in Georgia that will align with EU standards. Reforms will deal with agricultural sector having obligatory food inspection and providing hygiene standards along with the entire food production chain, including production, storage, and distribution. The lari now has its own symbol derived from the character le in the Georgian alphabet, crossed with two bars. The National Bank announced the competition to create the design in December 2013. The creator of the winning design, Malcho Shevelidze was awarded 2,000 lari for his winning entry.
So the Armenians did one for the dram, and the Russians also did one for the ruble a couple of years ago, and it's all the same. They just take the letter and like add these two little crossbars. It's kind of, you know, kind of something a bit new. And also, did you see the thing, the announcement? There was a Georgian keyboard, and the lari symbol replaced the hashtag. I'd rather have a hashtag.
I think it's a good symbol, though. I mean, it does look good, nice, because the two hashes, like, sort of make sense for
and
the
it's a nice letter.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm a fan. And plus, a G-E-L always drove me crazy, because everybody
would say gel,
yes, which
no,
is
I
just maddening. The tomb of Georgian painter Niko Pirosmani was allegedly discovered in Tbilisi. Journalist Maya Ramishvili stumbled upon the grave at Kukia Cemetery near where her parents are buried. The tombstone has an engraving reading, "Forgive God Nikola." Ramishvili says she can't be sure it's Pirosmani's grave, but the scientists should study the site. Culture Minister Gura Modishadia promised to support necessary research. When Pirosmani died of liver failure in 1918 at the age of 55, he was a relatively unknown artist. The exact burial place is a topic of speculation. Police car was hijacked on the Kutaisi-Zestaponi Highway while a police officer was out of the car helping someone. According to the Ministry of Internal Affairs, they've begun an investigation and a suspect was arrested. I hope somebody filmed that. Georgia exported 26 million bottles of wine in the first half of 2014, with 34 different countries importing Georgian wine. 17 million bottles were exported to Russia alone, which is 66% of Georgia's entire wine export. According to the National Wine Agency, the top five countries buying Georgian wines are Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Poland, and China. Starting this month, Service Air Airlines plans to launch flights from Nakhitchevan, a small town near Tbilisi, to Svaneti. Tickets will cost from 50 to 70 lari. As a reminder, Mestia's airport was recently named among the top 10 most beautiful airports in the world by BBC Culture, which is completely ridiculous because whoever put it there must have just seen some architectural rendering, because it's the most stupid little airport I've ever seen in my life. I've been there, and it's exactly like the Mushroom, the Hall of Justice, where it's like all the detail work is so incredibly bad because it was made in such a rush that it just shouldn't have been on the list at all.
I mean, that was by some, like, sponsored content on the BBC. This is not, like, the high editorial standards here. This is some listicle.
Listicle? Okay. All right. Good. Thank you for the clarification. Alongside Singapore, Hong Kong, and Japan, Georgia was ranked as one of the top 10 safest countries in the world to live in by... by lifestyle9.com.
Right, absolutely. New Yorker, eat your heart out. These guys check their facts. Right?
Absolutely. lifestyle9.com, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
I guess they've never crossed the road in this town.
I guess. They never played Frogger on Rustavelli. The number of visitors to Georgia in June dropped 8% compared to the same period last year. Around 450,000 people visited Georgia this June, breaking a trend since the 2008 war, with every summer tourist season being better than the previous one. The highest number of visitors came from Turkey, followed by Azerbaijan, Armenia, Russia, and Ukraine. This is no doubt because of the visa restrictions, particularly on Iranians.
Mm-hmm. And also, I would suggest it's also possibly to do with unrest in Ukraine putting off Polish tourists, maybe.
Could be. National Tourism Administration is beginning to promote inclusive tourism in Georgia. They cite a UN World Health Organization statistic that 11% of the world's population belongs to the category of persons with disabilities, that they also travel. The tourism department conducted a research inventory of places like hotels, restaurants that have already adapted their environments for disabled travelers. Right there now, there are a total of 15 hotels and restaurants in Tbilisi, 14 in Tel Aviv, 16 and then four in Tsikhnaki, one or two places in Kobuleti, Zugdidi, Samogrelos, Khaltuban, and Anaklia that can accommodate those in wheelchairs. New sports channel named TVS will be launched in September. The TV company will cover developments of all types of sports, will also transmit Georgian national championships. TVS is founded by Keri Japaridze with investments from her husband, Vakhtang Tseratelli, who used to be president of the Georgian Futsal Association. Wow, who knew there was one of those, and is the son of well-known businessman Chuta Tseratelli. Abkhazia's football club, Nart FC, offered 27-year-old Uruguayan footballer Luis Suarez to play for them over the next few months. Suarez received a four-month international ban from playing and was expelled from the World Cup for biting Italian defender Giorgio Cellini during the 2014 World Cup season. Gennady Sinvaria, the president of the Nart FC, explained to Itar Tass news agency that while Abkhazia, quote, cannot offer the Uruguayan footballer a financial package that he is used to, it will be able to offer Suarez the chance to maintain his match fitness, end quote, and dental fitness.
I hope okay. That's a great story. I hope it happens. Also, it's very appropriate for a football club called Nart FC. Nart, like the ogres from North Caucasian mythology. The guy that bites human beings is kind of a dream signing.
Absolutely. According to British Daily newspaper The Times, popular British Georgian singer Katie Melua was part of a tax evasion scheme along with other celebrities, including George Michael and actor Michael Caine and the Arctic Monkeys. The sum of taxes allegedly evaded amounts to £1.2 billion, which is a lot of pounds.
That doesn't all belong to Katie.
Yeah, probably not. Involving more than 1,600 people
but
in the
everyone's
scheme.
Everyone's doing it. David Beckham, like everybody who's rich and famous in the UK is doing these, you know, tax avoidance schemes.
Melua's lawyers told the Times that the singer invested in the scheme based on her account suggestions, but that she repaid the sheltered taxes and so did not evade them. In Kvitis Azrevi this week, poet Gio Kekalidze talked about the history of football in Georgia. A form of Georgian football started in the 18th century with the game Burtaoba, which is similar to modern rugby and is one of the first forms of ball games in Georgia. Georgian went on to win international games, even beating England's famous Liverpool. Kekalidze hopes that Georgian football again will achieve success. The meme this week is a video showing 19 African penguins arriving at the Tbilisi Zoo, a gift from the Britain Living Coasts Zoo. They discover and enjoy their new home, we hope.
They won't, will they? Tbilisi Zoo is horrible. I use that on my least favorite penguins
people,
in the world.
People sticking sticks in there and like, yeah. An article by Dmitry Chenin in Carnegie.ru about Shevardnadze's legacy in Russia's history. He says that Shevardnadze was a controversial figure, but one that commands respect. It's important not to ignore the fact that among alternatives to the Cold War, there was a possibility for real war directly involving the U.S. and the Soviet Union, which is true. Another Shevardnadze obituary in Times, this time from The New Yorker, Natalia Antalava, offers a more personal and moving angle on the extreme ups and downs of living in Shevardnadze's Georgia of the 1990s. It is brilliant, as is everything she touches. Article by Gio Menabde for Jamestown.org asking, quote, is Georgia getting closer to the EU but farther from NATO, end quote. According to the author, even though all political
parties...
according to the author, even though all political parties in Georgia welcome the signing of the agreement and the pro-Western orientation, Georgia's European integration still has limits, including visa-free migration, especially regarding security issues with Russia. Jamestown is completely crazy, but still worth listening to because they have some interesting stuff, just keeping in mind their viewpoint, which is that the EU is bad and NATO is great and hard security is the answer to everything related to Russia, which is the biggest problem in the world. The hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, published a second monitoring report of high-profile criminal cases. The report contains information on court proceedings from the period July 2013 to May 2014. TI observers attended the court hearings of 8 former high-profile officials: Vano Merabashvili, Gigi Ugulava, Nika Melua, Bacho Akhalaya, Data Akhalaya, Nika Gvaramia, Megis Kardaiva, and Cesar Ciocelli. Interesting reading. I highly recommend everybody perusing those that have just gone up. Article by Nino Mosiashvili in ISET's blog about nepotism in Georgia. She explains that, as everyone knows, people in Georgia are employed not according to a fair, orderly selection process, but through personal connections. While nepotism exists everywhere in the world, especially when it comes to entrepreneurs and company owners, in Western Europe and the U.S., it would be considered a severe abuse of office if an employment manager simply hired his or her own family members. Article in Tableau.ge about British citizen Aaron Charles, who happens to be black, and the discrimination he experienced in Georgia because of his skin color. Charles works with his wife, Nutsa Aristavi, in Tbilisi. She wrote on her Facebook page about an incident in Smart Supermarket when a Georgian man asked her why she was sitting next to a monkey, referring to her husband. Deeply depressing. Good that Tableau reported on that.
Did you see something? There was also a Smart response. So according to this guy's story, this guy started, the guy abused him and his wife, and the security guards did nothing about it. And the Smart responded saying the security guards follow procedure, and obviously we have people with different opinions in our supermarket, but we don't share those opinions, and blah, blah, blah. So at least they got someone answering the phone, though. That's kind of what I thought.
Great piece coming from Tpilpot.com's eagle-eyed Malibu correspondent, an AP profile of one of the rising and radical Islamist ISIS leaders who just so happens to come from a Caucasus country called Georgia. The known fighter Al-Shishani's real name is Tarkhan Barat, Batirashvili, an ethnic Chechen from Pankizi Gorge. He did his military service in the Georgian army, but was discharged after an unspecified illness. At one point, Georgian police arrested him for illegal possession of arms. And as soon as he was released in 2010, he left for Turkey. Georgian journalist Nina Akhmateli also has a piece about Al-Shishani for the BBC. She traced down and talked to Batirashvili's father, who still lives in the village of Birkiani in Pankizi. Turns out the senior is a Christian and said that his son converted to Islam.
Very strange, because Kists, he's definitely an ethnic Kist, and ethnic Kists are really very, very rarely Christian. I can't help but think he might have just said that.
Well, anyway, that's what he said to
Nina. That's what he said, for sure, but it's weird.
The Guardian's New East Network compares social media use throughout the post-Soviet states. In Georgia's case, politicians often try to connect with citizens via Facebook. Secretly filmed footage is often released on YouTube with big consequences. All these things to read posted on the forum. GeoCapital number this week is 2.2 million. That is the amount of lotti paid as bonuses to 9 regional governments in the first 5 months of 2014, according to TI Georgia. For comparison, in 2012, 2.5 million was issued in bonuses to regional governments and 3.2 million was issued in 2013. Amidani Movie Theaters close to Philharmonia has daily English movies this week. 17th of July, you can watch Hot to Train Your Dragon 2 at
How
2.
How to Train Your Dragon?
Sorry, How to Train Your Dragon 2 at 2:30. Haven't seen that one myself at 2:30 p.m.
I enjoyed the first one.
And A Million Ways to Die in the West at 8 p.m. For the month of July, Dom Kino across from Rustavelli McDonald's will be showing on Friday the 11th, Paris. Saturday the 12th. My Piece of the Pie, Sunday the 13th of July, Chinese Puzzle. All these are at 7 p.m. These are all from one director. Can't remember his name, but they all look kind of good. On Friday the 11th of July at 6 p.m., Gorilla Gardening Tbilisi will be marking its birthday at Lisi Lake. All are welcome to join the celebrations. Bring food and music. For additional information, visit facebook.com/Tbilisi Trees. Not a million trees, just Tbilisi Trees. On Saturday and Sunday, the 12th and 13th of July, 4 p.m., Natatari presents the Tbilisi Beer Festival 2014 near Rose Revolution Square, formerly Republic Square, otherwise known as Radisson Square. It will be the largest open-air beer bar in Georgia and will serve the brands Kozel, Kaiser, Ephesus, Highlander, and, of course, Natatari.
All of which are owned by Efes. It's a real diverse beer festival. Yeah. It's real micro-brew stuff.
Hey, there's a bunch of beer, man, you know. On Saturday, the 12th of July at 8 p.m., Frontline Cafe will be screening a short documentary, How to Cross, From Jiliz to Jiliz, by Sonia Kocharian and Marina Kocharian. The film duration is 15 minutes. Address is 62 Lado Satiani Street. For additional information, visit facebook.com/frontlinegeorgia. On Tuesday, the 15th of July at 7 p.m., the South Caucasus Regional Office of the Heinrich Böll Stiftung will present some of its latest research titled South Caucasus at the Crossroads, Thorny Realities and Great Expectations. There's a title for you. Publication will be presented by Salome Asatiani of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, who is brilliant, Corneli Kakachia, who's also very smart, Nani Mashkarashvili, and Dato Sichanava, the last three are from TSU. Address is the Goethe Institute, number 16, Zandukeli Street. Go to the Böll Stiftung for more information. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. Our email address is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with birthday boy Arlo Guthrie's 1972 song, The City of New Orleans.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors, 25 sacks of mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, train pulls out of Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Passing trains that have no name, and freight yards full of old black men, and the graveyards of the rusted automobiles. Good morning, America. said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Dealing card games with the old man in the club car. Penny a point, ain't no one keeping score. Pass the paper bag that holds the bottle. Feel the wheels rumbling beneath the floor. And the sons of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers write their father's magic carpets made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep rocking to the gentle beat. And the rhythm of the rails is all they feel. Good morning, America, how are you? Said, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Nighttime on the city of New Orleans. Changing cars in Memphis, Tennessee. Halfway home, and we'll be there by morning. Through the Mississippi darkness, rolling down to the sea. But all the towns and people seem to fade into a bad dream. And the steel rail still ain't heard the news. The conductor sings his songs again. Passengers will please refrain. This train